Out the Box is brought to you by the South African Jewish Museum. Preserving our past, celebrating the present, and inspiring our future.
Good morning and welcome to Out the Box, for minds that don't fit the mold, but hearts that keep striving. I'm Simone Herring. One of the things I really love most about my work is spending time with people who have devoted their lives to children. Because after decades in the classroom, they begin to see things that the rest of us often miss. They watched education change, they've seen technology transform the classroom, as well as childhoods. They've taught generations of families and learned what children really need. Joining me this morning are two remarkable educators. Marcel Pincus is still teaching. I won't tell you her age, but it's quite remarkable. I'll let her tell you if she pleases. She's still at Crawford College as an adjudicator, and she does impromptu public speaking. And she has also co-authored an English textbook research book that has helped generations of children today. And joining her is Judy Levy, an experienced teacher and remedial therapist who has spent years supporting children who learn differently. Today, she works with nannies, helping them understand how children learn through play, conversation, and connection. And I think that is such a vital thing to be doing in the community. I think they are empowering nannies, and parents feel that they're leaving their children in the hands of somebody who can stimulate and help them learn. Judy also played a special role in my own professional journey. I completed my 25-hour literacy intervention placement at Eden College while she was the head of department, and I have to say that I learned a great deal from her. I enjoyed the most delicious malva pudding and custard with Marcel on Sunday, this last Sunday. I thought I would be there for an hour. I was there for more than 2 hours, and I could have stayed even longer. She is a wealth of information and quite remarkable. Judy, Marcel, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know that both of you have been teaching for a very long time, and together it's like almost a century of working with children. People often say children today are different. And I kind of ask myself, well, are they so different from what they used to be? Marcel, you've been teaching for more than 60 years. What are you currently teaching at Crawford? And what keeps you walking back into the classroom year after year?
First of all, I have been teaching for 67 years, wow, and I am adamant that children have not changed. Life has changed, but not children. You can still see the excitement when you walk in, and I believe if they feel needed, wanted, and appreciated, you've always got them on your side, wanting to do better. When I was a child, I come from a family of 6 children, and I think what I learnt, my parents never compared us. They always accepted us, who we were and what our strengths were. And of course, this is what I have made my life's passion on, accepting children, who they are, what they are, and always thinking they are ready to do their very, very best.
Absolutely. I think if someone has a parent or an adult, as I've said before, behind them, you know, cheering them on and not comparing them, just as you say, is really the key to a happy childhood.
I'm very, very lucky, or should I say, Hashem has made me lucky. I have a relationship with Hashem, and I believe that from the day I stood outside an unqualified teacher, being told that certain children would mince me up, and the principal changed his mind, and I stood there saying, thank you, God, for making me love these children. That love has never left me. Today, 31 years at Crawford, also under the guidance of Ernie Sachs, where I was deputy, I was always taught, make the children feel important. Mm. And I've tried my best to do that and always found what they're good at. The example I'd like to give you is a boy called Wayne. The mother came to me, I was at Rivonia, crying. Her child can do nothing. He can't do schoolwork. He can't do. And I said, hang on a minute. What is he good at? Mm. And she said, he's very good at cooking. I said, fine. I'm going to change all the speeches he does to something referring to cooking. Wayne finished matric and went on with the love of his cooking, won the chef here in South Africa. Incredible. And opened two enormous, very well-known in London and Wales, posh restaurants.
Unbelievable.
Yes. He had made his life there. So each and every child has something. And the question is, what is it? Mm. Find it.
Exactly.
Work at it. You are responsible to get them there.
Judy, you've worked with children, you know, throughout your career at many different levels. You've taught in the mainstream and you've taught in the remedial stream. Looking back, what do you think hasn't changed about children?
I think today children definitely need to feel that they're loved. They need to feel that you connect with them, that you don't write them off. Every child comes into your classroom with something that they're good at. And you as a teacher have to find that passion. Mm. You have to find their love of what they're good at and never let them feel that they're not good at anything. There's always something that they excel at. And often you can get a child who comes in very anxious, very nervous because they know that they haven't succeeded anywhere else. And all they need is that confidence building for the teacher to connect with them. I think it's very important to understand that a child that's got barriers to learning is very insecure. They lack the confidence in themselves. And you as a teacher have an amazing, amazing ability to be able to connect with that child, make them feel that they belong.
Yeah.
That they're good at something. Often the kids will come and say, I'm a failure. I can't do this. I can't do maths. I had a little girl in my grade one class that sticks out very clearly because her mother came to tell me when she was in matric how well she had done. And she said to me, you know, I remember her in your grade one class and she kept saying, I can't do maths. And I said to her, you know, there's no such word as can't. I said, but you and I will work together as a team.
Mm.
You can stand at my desk every day until you feel confident enough to do maths.
Mm.
And her mother told me that at the end of matric, she did maths on the higher grade and she did so well. And she'll never forget the connection and the confidence I gave her in that classroom. And I think that's what's never changes, is that we have the ability. Look, kids are exposed to screens and they're exposed to so many things, but they still want to have that connection with the teacher.
Yeah,
that
I
hasn't
agree.
Changed.
And as teachers, we have so much power, and we need to use it and direct it in the most positive way that we can. We need to, as you've both said, acknowledge children for their strengths. And very often, a mom would come and say, my child can't read, she doesn't know this, she doesn't know that, you know, she's not able to do this. And as Marcel and you, Judy, both said, is that we have to ask, what can your child do? Let's not start with what your child cannot do. Always start with the can.
And to build on
know,
that.
Exactly, and you all know Alison Scott from Bella Vista, and she taught me the word yet.
Mm.
I can't do it yet. So there's always that yet. There's always the hope, and there's always the confidence that you can instill in the child. And along the way, you will build confidence that will be with them forever. They will remember you forever. In fact, I was speaking to Marcel and Judy while we were waiting to begin the show, and I was telling them that I had an English teacher in matric. Now, I come from Vereeniging, and I went to King David for Standard 9, what was Standard 9 in matric, and it was a culture shock for me. You can imagine somebody from Vereeniging being in a tiny town, wasn't so tiny, but coming from a small town into a very big school. And I didn't have a lot of confidence. And my English teacher just saw me. She just saw that I didn't have a learning difficulty, but I needed extra. And she did that for me. And we met her the one day, my son and I, we were out and we bumped into her. She still remembered my name. She still remembered when I came to King David. And she still remembered the mark I got for my matric English exams, which for me is just phenomenal, because as much as she gave me, I obviously made an impact on her as well without even knowing it. And I think that's how we go through life, is I don't think that she knew how much of an impact she made on me. And if Mrs. Sachs from King David, from the year 1990, if you are listening, I really want to thank you for what you did for me. Judy, by the time the children come into your classroom, they've often had, as you said, years of feeling that they weren't good enough. Mm. What's the first thing, the very first thing that you do when a child who lacks confidence walks into your classroom? Because we can't just, you know, give them a pull and say, well, here's confidence for you.
No, I think you need to look at the child and engage in them and form a relationship with them. For me, it's important to just connect with them, to talk to them about what life is and how they feel about themselves, because confidence isn't something that you can just grow.
No.
You need to believe, and you need to give them that on a daily basis. And the small things that they succeed at, you emphasize that. Mm. You make them feel that they're worthy and that they're good at something. I often think I had a system in one of my grade one classes where they used to come in and we had a little chart with hearts of colors and how you're feeling. And I think it's very important when a child that's coming into a classroom is feeling anxious, you know, and if they can acknowledge, I'm not feeling 100% because I'm feeling a little bit nervous, then you know how to treat that child.
Right,
and
that
I think
day.
It's very important, yes, as a child comes into the classroom to ask them, how are you feeling today?
Yes.
Not every child comes into a classroom feeling fantastic and good about themselves. Some of them are feeling very anxious. They're nervous about what they're going, what their barriers are. They know that they have difficulty either in recognizing sounds or words, mm, or whatever it is. And your job is to just to make them feel loved and seen and heard.
100%. Marcel, you must have heard of the educational psychologist Albert Bandura. And he believed that children develop confidence through experience. Every time they seem to overcome a challenge, they begin to believe, I can do this. I have to go to a quick ad break, but I'm coming back to Albert and you, Marcel.
Thank you.
Out the Box is brought to you by the South African Jewish Museum. Preserving our past, celebrating the present, and inspiring our future.
Marcel, we're backtracking to Albert Bandura, who believed that in order to build a child's confidence, they needed to go through experiences and overcome challenges. And then they would take on the feeling of, I can do this. Do you think today's children are given enough opportunities to struggle, to persevere, and discover that they are capable? Or are we jumping in too soon?
I do think that in most cases, for me, the teachers have made a difference. I've been fortunate enough to be able to train many young teachers, and I find that they are excited and they care. And caring and a positive attitude must give confidence. I do it because of drama. Mm. Drama has obviously been part of my life. And so in our case, this year, for example, my grade 1, 2, 3s are doing choral verse, which they do every year. But every child must feel they have been a team and they are successful. And of course, they love it. I meet people who are adults saying, do you remember when I said Jabberwocky? Do you remember? And they all remember. I also believe that competition is good as long as you treat it with respect. So my children know they can be in competition, but every one of them is a winner, yes. Whether they get a silver, a gold, a prestige. It doesn't matter. The fact that they appeared, that they spoke, and that they loved what they're doing. And I think the passion I have is what I please God hand to my teachers. I have the most incredible young teachers today, and I say, no, they are caring. They love what they're doing, and we in turn together are giving them the confidence that they need.
100%. And I think that a child's competition within their own context with what they are capable of achieving, and not putting a lid on it, but realizing that actually they're improving themselves, and it's within what they are
capable of. Yes. And children who walk in and they say, I don't think I can do a festival. I say, well, don't worry about it. If you don't want to, let's play games.
Yes.
I'm a game player.
Yes.
So even when I was teaching things like maths, I called it math bingo. I don't teach that anymore. I'm now on to public speaking, 800 kids a year.
Incredible.
And they love it. And mainly, what do they love? They love impromptu. People say, oh, how can they speak without notes? My children have learnt that they can speak on anything because we play a game called the language game. Mm. And for 30 seconds, they have to try. But I start with the little ones. 10 seconds, no repetition of what you're saying. And the children have become so good. And it's not because we've won the trophy for so many years. It's because these children are taking it into their lives. They are doing it at whether they are doing trade, whether they are doing university. They are all the letters I have for my book that I've written, Touch a Life and Make a Difference, which is coming out, is exactly what I feel. Touch a life and make a difference. And it's not only the children. I have to say thank you at the moment. It's the call for teachers.
Yes.
But I feel it's my second home, and they love what I'm doing, and I love them for making the difference.
I think that's wonderful, Marcel, and I think it's so true. Touch a life, you know, as I mentioned before, how you touch a child's life and how a child's life touches you. It's really something that keeps us as teachers going. I think that's why we keep going back. And, you know, today there are so many teachers that are struggling because they have so little support in the government schools and in some private schools. And I think that lack of support needs to change. And Judy, you were speaking about mentoring younger teachers. Tell us about what your thoughts are.
I think it's very important that we all learn from each other. You know, the younger generation have come in, they are much more technologically advanced than we were. But there's still value in looking at the experience of an older teacher and what works. And I think that if you look and you want to grow and you want to learn, you have to marry the two together. Mm-hmm. You have to change with the times. You have to keep up with how things are changing. Education isn't the same. But I think that the way that we understand children, that children are not all fitting into the same box. There has to be differentiation in the classroom. We have to accept that some children learn in a different way, and we have to be opened to helping those children in the classroom. So I think it's very important that we work together. We see what works from the experience and what works today with bringing in the younger teachers and working together as a team. I think that, for me, that's been a game changer. I think even as we get older, we have to still be open to learning. If we stop learning, then we have to be out of the classroom. You have to know that times have changed. You have to work with the times. You have to learn from each other. Yes. And you have to be open.
And I think that we also have to really recognize, and Marcel, this really speaks, you know, to you being, can I say your age?
Did
you
87. Say 87.
Thank you. Being 87 young and still walking into the classroom on a daily basis, that means that you are offering something so valuable, which Judy is speaking to, mentoring young teachers.
Yes.
Let's stop sidelining our older teachers, because they bring so much to the younger teachers. And I was doing the the reading clinic that, it's gone out of my head, a winter school at Bella Vista. And I was working with Michelle Yudelovitz, as well as Chloe. Now, for the life of me, you know, my brain these days, I think I'm coming for brain training myself. But Chloe was an older teacher, and so is
Michelle.
And I learned so much from them, because even though we were doing a new program, which isn't new, it's been there for a while, we were teaching children who struggled to learn. Some of the old methods still hold tremendous value. Mm. And both of them said that to me. You know, that repetition.
All the time.
Games and different ways of finding
all
to do
time.
It.
All the time.
Yes. And that allows for the automaticity to come from the children. And it doesn't have to be sitting there and just reading one flashcard after another. But as Marcel alluded to, is play games. That's the best thing you can do with children.
All the time. I have to thank Beryl Lutron. You know that she and I did the English book.
And I taught with Beryl. We didn't teach the same subject, but she was at King David Sandton, and I taught there, and she was fabulous.
We had 22 years of working, never an altercation, but we both believed, we did a very big... My Crawford bosses said, you can take off as much time as you need for the book on condition that the book is going to be outstanding. Mm. And they let me go Cape Town, all over. Crawford has been, and at this stage I'd like to tell you that I've never had a racial problem there. They've been wonderful. And they've always encouraged me to encourage the teachers and the children. And we went to a very big do, whatever you want to call it, and one woman looked as if she was bored to tears. And when they finished, she put up her hand for questions, and she said, Beryl said, well, you know, I'm the logic. Marcel's the magic. She said, and what is Marcel on? I'd like to have some of that.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's like Judy Moritz's magic, you know.
She sprinkles
magic wherever
Judy's
she goes.
Judy's got it, but her late daughter, Helen.
Helen
had it all the way.
Yes.
Her generosity of spirit. How can I ever forget when I could barely do choral verse and my third attempt was that I thought okay, and I went back to do netball. I was coaching netball as well, and Helen arrived, this beautiful woman, beautifully groomed.
Always.
And said, I don't think you know what happened at the festival. I said, no, but I did. I think you should have won. She said, I did, but you got the silver medal. Who would have thought of coming back after a festival to a school I.H. Harris just to tell the person, keep your confidence, you got it.
Praise is so important, and I think today a lot of parents are afraid to praise their children and acknowledge them, because there's this idea that they become entitled and their egos become too big. And the truth is that if you are praising your children in the right way, about the right things, exactly, to be genuine, to be authentic, then you're doing a great job.
I think they're doing the opposite today. They're expecting too much from the children. Mm. And I have a child who said to me, my father gave me very bad advice. He told me, come first no matter what. Mm. I became an awful person. But I've learned. I've learned it didn't help. So parents who understand their children, I believe happiness possesses success. Possess success with happiness. And that is where we are all at. We want the success with passion, positive thinking, believing in them. Believers are achievers.
Yes.
And we want that with everybody, not only children. We need adults. Adults need that as well. Yeah. They so often need that assurance. You have done wonderfully as a parent, as a grandparent. We all need it.
Everybody needs a well done. Everybody needs an I'm proud of you.
Every one of us needs it. We are not that great that we can be, oh, well, I'm not perfect, I know. Mm. I have many faults, but I do try my best to community service and to do a... I made up my mind, and I've kept it, a mitzvah a day. And it can be a smile. It can be... My mitzvah the other day was to meet you and become a friend. It was my mitzvah
Thank you
for
to Marissa,
day.
Yes.
Yes. So a mitzvah a day, I believe, is my way of life.
Okay, so I think it's a wonderful way to live life. I want to ask teachers and parents, and I'd love you to WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. What's one small thing you do every day that helps your child or the child that you are teaching feel valued? And parents, who was the teacher your child still talks about? Or do you have a teacher that you still talk about? We'd love to hear from your stories, and you can just WhatsApp us and, you know, give us an idea of if you're enjoying what we're talking about, and give us your suggestions. Judy, I know that you've taught children through, you know, through various different modules and ways, and you've certainly kept up with what's new, as well as been able to marry what was useful from the past as well as what they're doing today. When a parent comes to you, and they often come to me, I'm sure the same goes for you, is they say, how do I know if my child is simply finding something difficult or if they genuinely need help? What are some of the signs that parents and teachers should not ignore?
I think when you look at a child and you look at their behavior, when the behavior changes and the child either becomes withdrawn, retreats into themselves, doesn't want to communicate and say what's hard for them, those are some of the signs you have to look at. You know, does the child interact with you, engage with you, acknowledge? And I think the key to this is definitely having the parents as part of the team. You can have the adverse effect where the parent, you as a teacher, can see that the child is struggling because you're working with them on a daily basis, and the parent will not acknowledge that their child has got a barrier to learning. So you've got to be able to work as a team. And I think when you've got the parents on your side and you've got the right intervention, the right therapies in place, we work as a team. It's not one person that is a miracle worker. But I think you look at the child. You look at that child when they come into your classroom. What do you notice about that child? Do they come in with a smile on their face? Yeah. Do they come in like slunking into the classroom where they actually don't even want to make eye contact with you? Do they become impossible behavior-wise, and they're actually looking for negative attention because everything is very hard for them?
And my mom, I mean, I also come from a generation, one generation back as a teacher. My mom is a teacher. And she taught in the most incredible school in Bertrams for Miss Louie, Miss Janet Louie. I don't know if any of you know her, but she taught in a what was then a mostly colored school. And my mom saw everything. Children who, you know, had been abused, and children who were neglected, poverty that one cannot even imagine. But Miss Louie and my mother used to go every morning and make sandwiches for the children who came to school, because if they didn't eat before school, first of all, we all know that that's your brain cannot jump into action, but they were hungry. How do we expect hungry children to learn? And as you said, it's the behavior, and it's little things that we haven't thought about. Did that child have a difficult night? Did that child hear their parents fighting and arguing? It's these things that, you know, we need to look behind that behavior, why it's happening, and how then can we help the child? I just have to read a beautiful message from Marissa Moritz, Helen Heldemuth's daughter, the late Helen Heldemuth.
I love her.
And she put me onto you, Marcel, so I'm so grateful for that. She says she loves the show with the most incredible educators speaking, and Judy Moritz says, you are all so magic. And Helen upstairs says, thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I think that's such a beautiful WhatsApp to receive. Children don't tell us they're struggling. They can't. That, as you said, it's through their behavior, and we need to look beneath it. And somebody once said to me, we need to become detectives instead of making judgments. And when I did the intervention with you at Eden, this young little boy was already in grade two and he couldn't read. And I was so grateful when you said, please come in and assist him. But the mother was very heartsore, and I think it was very difficult for her to accept the situation. Mm. And I often think, whatever happened when that 25-hour intervention stopped? Did she take it further? How do we help parents to accept what is really a very difficult thing to accept, that it's a loss, that your child isn't going to go through school, you know, with smooth sailing, but is actually going to struggle?
I think what's very important is to be honest with the parents. You know, we definitely have to make them aware that we have got a team of people that can help us.
I'm going to come back to that, Judy, because I think it's really important. And I want the listeners to think as well, did you ever struggle to hear that your child wasn't coping with their schoolwork or socially, academically in any way?
Out the Box is brought to you by the South African Jewish Museum. Preserving our past, celebrating the present, and inspiring our future.
Judy, let me just remind the listeners that they're listening to me, Simone, and Out the Box, and my two beautiful guests are here today with a wealth of experience, Judy Levy and Marcel Pincus. And we are speaking about education through generations, how things have changed and how things have stayed the same, and the influence that the two have on each other. Judy, you were speaking about helping a parent come to terms with a child who does have barriers to learning.
I think it's very important for them to acknowledge. It's sometimes very hard as a parent when you're told that your child is struggling and they may not be able to fit into the box that you thought that they would fit in through their whole life. But never to lose sight of the fact that every child's an individual, mm-hmm. and there is help available. There's a wealth of experience out there of therapists and intervention that we need to tap into. Mm-hmm. And if we encourage the parents to work with us and get that intervention in place, those children can succeed. And I think it's also important to remember that children remember how you made them feel long after you've taught them. Mm. They'll always remember if you made them feel loved, encouraged, and accepted. And I think you have to show that belief in that child and give the parents encouragement. And it's also to form a relationship. They need to get a lot of phone calls, meetings, to reassure him that we're on the right path, that your child does have barriers to learning, but with the right intervention and with the encouragement and the work that we do together, we can achieve amazing results. I always say you never write off a child, because you never know when that child's going to get to their potential. We have to plant that seed and nurture it until we see the results coming through.
Precisely. Marcel, what was usually the first sign that told you that a child needed a little more support or more attention? How did you then intervene?
You know, maybe I didn't see it straight away, because as I say, for me, I started immediately when I met them with drama and games. Now, I'm going to go according to my own children. I was a mother who had a big worry, but I always believed it would come right. Mm. The son I'm talking about, my youngest son, has an MA today, but when he was in grade four, standard two, Mr. Ernie called me and he said, Marcella, Phil, his teacher, is
just go back 1 second for those who don't know who Ernie is.
Ernie Sachs was a wonderful headmaster, well known, respected by every inspector, and I was his deputy.
Okay.
At that stage, before I go on, I want to tell everybody I've had a jackpot of headmasters. Every one of them has taught me something that I really need to know, and I love them all, and they know it. So he called me into the office and he said, Phil is very scared to see you. Here is Darren's report. Mm. The report was full of red rings. And he said, how do you feel? I said, well, how did Einstein's mother feel? Maybe I've got a genius on my hand who hasn't shown what he's feeling.
Lovely.
But I do know his good points. I also know that he's driving the school mad. But don't worry. He's going to grow up and hopefully, which he grew up, but only after matric. Because in grade 11, I was called by all the teachers of Northview. And I said, but you know, tonight let me have my say. I have got a good child, haven't I? He's an excellent rugby captain, isn't he? And you do believe that he's an honest child. No, he doesn't like school. But so what? He can always do matric again and again. And he became a prefect. And the headmaster burst out laughing. Darren to me said, shame, I should have gone more often to school. I could have been head boy. So they were brought up in a home where nobody was told, you can't do it. I believed in it. And I thank Eden for my child who did matric maths after having 9% all the years. My child who got a cum laude in New Zealand did maths because of a teacher at Eden. Eden was wonderful for my children. You see, I have so many people to think at 87. I have Elfin Lodge. They've become my second home. They are like my own children, and I love them. So I don't know, Simone, but I believe I'm a very happy person, and I really look for passion, belief, positives. I do. I've tried never to lush. Of course I will. I'm normal. I think I'm normal. But my one child, I think I'd like to share this with you, sent a letter which is in my book. Dear Mrs. Pincus, we believe you have a few screws loose, but we love you. But how do you think up your insulting impromptu? Do you practice the night before? Because who else could call us moronic dinosaurs and then tell us we're brilliant?
Yeah, so it's holding two feelings at the same time. You know,
yes, I think always with a positive.
Yeah, my son had the most wonderful Hebrew teacher, Dr. Oren, and he always used to say, Mom, you know, she calls me a donkey, but I love it. You see? And he did so well in Hebrew, and he loves her. And because she gave that confidence, even though, you know, in grade 11 in matric, they begin to understand the irony and they can...
And you can accept it. They can accept it.
Exactly, exactly.
And one of my friends said to a parent the other night when I had 40 grade 8s and their parents for dinner as a thank you for the way they work with me, and she said, you know, if we said to the children what Marcel says, I'd be fired on the spot. Yeah. And the parents said, yes, but we feel lucky.
Yeah.
And so 100%. I have to say thank you. I mean, I know Judy. I know you now. I what can I say? I love the people. I love the people I see every day.
And it comes shining through, Marcel. Honestly, Marissa said, this is such a treat.
I love Marissa.
You will love Marcel. I said, okay. And I was on it. Judy, you're now teaching nannies. Yes. And I think that's really such an interesting new chapter in your career. Why do you believe those early years matter so much?
So the Nanny and Me franchise, which is the most incredible opportunity to upskill the nannies, is giving them the confidence and it's giving them the skills to lay the foundation for learning. So we're teaching them about language development, how the brain works. These nannies are learning information of how to stimulate the little ones from 6 months to nearly 3 years old. And they're learning opportunities that will teach those children and give them their foundations for learning when they go to school.
We'll come back right to that because I think that is critical.
Out the Box is brought to you by the South African Jewish Museum. Preserving our past, celebrating the present, and inspiring our future.
You're listening to Out the Box on High FM 101.9. I'm Simone and I'm chatting to Judy Levy and Marcel Pincus about education. Education from the past, education from the present and the future. Judy, you were speaking about educating and empowering nannies and why those early years are so important.
What I've really seen, it's a program that was designed by Laura Schoenfeld, who's an OT. So there's so much thought put into each learning block. There's 6 weeks, and every 6 weeks the nannies learn a certain skill for that whole 6 weeks, and they get home fun. So they're learning to interact with the children and giving the children those foundational skills, the language they use, the intervention of introducing them to reading, to storybooks, Play-Doh, all the little fine motor skills that they're learning, the gross motor skills, the language development. They are all building blocks so that when those children start nursery school, they are coming into school with a really good foundation for learning. And I always say you don't underestimate what the children are actually learning. And the nannies are loving it. They're loving, and the parents can see the value because we work as a team.
Yes.
They get stuff to do at home. They get sensory intervention play that they play with the children. And it's not expensive toys. It's things that are in your kitchen. And they're learning to how to communicate with the children. And I've seen such a development in the way they look at themselves as not just being a nanny. They have a very important role. They're part of an amazing team at home. They work with the parents. They work with me. They're learning skills. They're showing an interest. And I think it's giving them the ability to know that they're not just working with a child. They've got a very, very important role when the parents are at work.
I think that's essential. And when I think of one of my children, I call him my play school dropout. He would not settle at play school. And eventually I turned around and I said, I'm not bringing this child to come and cry all day because he can't settle. So I took him out, and we have the most amazing nanny. She is truly a second mother to my children. Sometimes I think perhaps the first mother. But she's definitely holds, you know, a vital role in my home. And she spent a great deal of time with my child. And those early years, you know, up to 3 years old, Nikki from the Communication Center, she always speaks about early intervention. And if we are stimulating children, if we are giving language, those early sounds, those, you know, the colors, the rhyming, everything that you're doing is only going to stand them in good stead. So if your child isn't settling at play school, honestly, don't leave them there. They're not ready for it. Nannies and caregivers and grandparents and others can be able, well, because of Judy, are enabled to help children to grow and to be stimulated. So Judy, if there was one simple thing that you would ask parents to perhaps do every single day with their child, something that would support learning or language development, what is it?
Put the phones down.
100%.
Put the phone down, interact with your child and read. 100%. To me, the love of reading is stimulated when the children are babies.
Yeah.
And you can never underestimate that.
Yeah.
Dedicate a little bit of time to just connect, whether you're playing a game, if it's an educational game. For me, the most important thing is to read to your child,
yeah,
because that's the foundation for learning.
Definitely. And the one thing I learned, and Marcel, I'm going to ask you this question after, is that when my children do come and speak to me, I put my phone down. And if I'm watching a program, I pause it. And I feel that that has made a huge difference because they feel that I'm present. And technology has just taken that away from so many of us because we live under such pressurized type of existence currently with everything. And there's a lot going on in the world that is very pressurizing. Marcel, for somebody who loves drama, who loves English, if a parent said to you, what book would you like to put into my child's hands right now? What piece of literature or poetry would you think that he or she would benefit from? What would it be?
I actually have a bookcase of books. All of them. The Roald Dahl. I have the classics.
Yes.
And every parent who comes, I say, oh, your child's going to love this book. Would you like to borrow it? And I go to readers often.
Yes.
And I look through the children's books that I don't know. And I look and I say, all the same as Judy. I feel read to those children, yeah. And I read to a lot of children. Yeah. So that we love it all the time.
Because often parents will come and say, my child hates to read. Mm-hmm. Your child mm-hmm. may hate to read because it's difficult. But believe me, they love you to reading read a story to them.
Them, yeah. Yes, all the time. And the other one that I really think is doing so much good for community work is, of course, the mini council and the junior council yes. under Avril Rebeck.
Yes, yes.
I have been involved 40 years lecturing to the kids.
Yes.
And all of them come from a League of Nations, and yet they all want the same thing that we've spoken about today. Every one of them wants the same.
Marcel and Judy, we never have enough time on my show, and I really just want to thank you for everything that you've brought to the table. And I wanted to end with a quote from Lev Vygotsky, who's a Russian psychologist and one of the most influential educational theorists in history. And he believed that children learn best through social interaction, conversation, and guidance from more knowledgeable adults and peers. And the quote goes, "What a child can do with assistance today, they will be able to do by themselves tomorrow."
I love it.
I'm leaving you with Bette Midler and The Rose. Take care of yourselves. And Judy, Marcel, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Again.
Thank you.
Thank you.